The previous time when the beer and Riri went away, we started off with a series on sermons on our prayer focus topics. So as you may remember, Pia spoke on prayer and a burden for the lost. Gavin spoke on holiness to the Lord. And I spoke on a reverence for God. So for the next two Sundays, we're going to continue with that on those topics. And today it's my privilege to speak to us about a hunger for God's Word. It has been said that as manufactured products has an owner's manual, in the same way, the Word of God is the owner's manual for man. We can use that to direct our lives. But as you know, we live in a time where the Word of God is under immense attack. We have theological institutions, seminaries. There are very few in the world today, if any, that still believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. The fact that the Word of God is without any fault. And that is according to Dr. David Farnell, a professor in New Testament. He was one of the teachers at the, or the speakers at this year's Calvary Chapel Pastors Conference that was held in America. So today, we're not going to spend time trying to convince you guys why the Bible is true. I think most of us know that, and we can defend that. And if you need any equipment, it's available there at the back in the library. Today, we're going to go out from the stand and the opinion that we know that the Word of God is truth, and that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, as it is said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. So that's our basis that we're going to start from in this morning's teaching. So in the meantime, you guys can turn to Psalm 119. While you turn there, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in all of the Bible. It consists of 176 verses. And one interesting fact about the chapter is that it's divided into 22 sections of 8 verses each. And interesting, each verse in each of those 8 sections starts with a letter, a specific letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, for instance, the first 8 verses, each verse starts with the letter Aleph. And as the next 8 verses starts with a letter Beth, which is the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So it was said that the Jewish children was used to learn Psalm 119 in order to learn the alphabet, which is so great if you just think about it. So we don't see that in our modern translation of the Bible because it had to be adjusted to make sense in our language. But in the original Hebrew text, that's the way it's divided. But if you read the whole chapter, all 176 verses, except for 3, refers to the benefits of studying God's Word. And we're going to spend some time, only in a portion of it, so you can relax. We're not going to do the whole chapter. But if you read the chapter, that in itself can be a sermon, as it just reminds us of the importance of the Word of God. So before we're going to start reading, I want us to just close our eyes and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so privileged in this country to have your Word open before us. We can gather publicly and have your Word speak to us this morning. And that is the prayer of our hearts. Lord, let it not be me speaking, but you, that your Word may go out this morning and just remind us again of how wonderful your Word is and how it is applicable to our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring this before you and ask that you would prepare our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us start reading. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of Your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts and contemplate Your ways. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word. Deal bountifully with Your servant, that I may live and keep Your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from Your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide Your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for Your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from Your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept Your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but Your servant meditates on Your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. We're just going to look at the first 24 verses there. So I've entitled the study, The Benefits of Studying God's Word. And there's three main headings that we take out of this. The first one is a promised blessing. The second part is on that we have a command, commanded by God. And then thirdly, we have five different points where the author just cries out to the Lord to ask Him to direct him in the law and in the testimonies of the Lord. And as you've noticed, as we read through this, there's a reference to the law, testimonies, commandments, and all of those are aspects encompassed in the Word of God. The commandment is something that the Lord tells us to do. Testimony is that which is told about others and how the Lord has been great to them, and how the Lord allowed that to be written in His Word. So there's all these aspects refer to the Word of the Lord. So, first of all, we're going to look at the promised blessing. Let's read verses 1 to 3 again. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. So if we look at who are the undefiled, and we can get an answer of that in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23 that says, Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful also to will, who also will do it. So we see that we, people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we are the undefiled or the blameless before the Lord. And then what we find in those three verses, that there's a promised blessing to those who study God's Word, who stick to His Word, in the next three aspects, who walk in the instruction of the Lord. In other words, those who follow the instructions that the Lord gives, who keeps his testimonies, those who are faithful to stick to the word, and those who seek him with their whole hearts. And there we have a command from the Lord in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 to 13, that says, "What does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." So we see, that is the requirement of the Lord. And we find that right throughout the Bible, that the Lord requires us to follow his instructions. And it's not for God's sake, it's for our own good, as it is said here. So often, we as people who stand in positions of authority, when we give a command, we expect somebody to do that. And in the same way, the Lord expects us to be obedient to his word. And then thirdly, the study of God's word keeps us from sinning. In 1 John 5 verse 18, it says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." That's amazing to realize that the closer we stay to God and to his commandments, the less lenient we are to sin. So we've established now then this morning that we are the ones this psalm is written to. We are the ones that has been saved. We are under the grace of God. And now we have a command from the Lord. And we find that in verse 4. "You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently." So it's not something that we can choose to or not choose to do. We are commanded by the Lord to do that, to follow his precepts, his will, and the instruction that he gives in his word. So the word "to keep" means to obey and to follow it. The word "precepts" indicate the commandments of the Lord, the whole of the word, the Bible that as we have it today. And then the word "diligently" means that we do it with our whole heart, not just haphazardly, but that we would follow it to the letter with an earnest desire to follow the Lord's instruction. And now, as we continue, we go into those outcries that the author has towards God. And we have five of them. The first one is, "Direct my ways." Let us read there in verse 5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." To me, this is an ironic statement, because the Lord requires of us to follow his instruction. But yet, we've got to ask him, as the author does here, to help us to do that. Because we know, as sinful man, that's not our natural tendency. We don't follow the instructions of the Lord at free will. We need his guidance to do that. And now, from verse 6 to 8, we see what happens to those who follow the Lord's instruction. "Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." How are we not ashamed of the statutes of the Lord? It's got two implications. The one is, as Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So that is that boldness that we have. We've got the truth, and we are willing and gladly share that with a dying world around us. But there's also another aspect, that if we study the word of the Lord, we will not be ashamed when people come and ask us difficult questions. Because then we'll be able to say, as 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. But then we always have that warning at the end with meekness and fear. So we are not to be boastful when we when people ask us anything. Why are we so glad? Why are we joyous? And that's another aspect where we won't be ashamed. If we study the Word, we'll improve our knowledge and we'll be able to give those answers. Then in verse 7, it speaks of that praise to the Lord. And again, if we study the Word of the Lord, we look into the depth of it. God reveals Himself to us. We get to know Him as being sovereign, as being holy, as being majestic. And all these things just turn our hearts into praise towards Him. And that is our natural, it should be our natural reaction. And P and I were speaking about that this morning, that's exactly the way it works. If we focus our attention on God, and allow Him to speak to us, then we automatically turn into praise towards Him because we realize how small and insignificant we are and how great He is. I just want to read there Psalm 118 verse 1 where the author says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." So the word of the Lord, the study of that turns us into natural worshippers of the Lord. And the more we study the word of the Lord, the more we want to obey His commandments, as is said there in verse 8. Then in verse 9 we have the next outcry. Let's read that. "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." So that's the next outcry. "Cleanse my way, Lord. Help me to live a pure and holy life." And then the answer is very clear, is to keep the commandments of the Lord, that we would take heed according to His instruction. And there we can carry on all morning about things that the Lord tells us in His Word to do that we need to obey. And one thing like that aspect is, how can a young man keep his life pure? And we find the answer in that in Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So when we turn to the Lord and forsake our own will, because that's always the challenge in the Christian life, is how much of me and my own will is still inside of me and want to fulfill my own will, and how much am I prepared to surrender to God. And if we do that, the Lord says that He will direct our ways. Wherever we go, when we prayfully go to the Lord and ask instruction, He will lead us in that way. The word of the Lord contains answers to each and every of life's questions. There's no other book in the world that can truly claim that. The Bible answers questions like, where did everything start from? Why is there death in the world? Why is there so much pain and suffering? What happens to one when you die? And the Bible gives very clear answers to all of these things. And then also just small things in our life. How should I live towards other people? Should I swear or shouldn't I? The Bible is very clear on all of these things. If we just study the Word of God, it'll give us those answers. Sorry. In seeking the Lord, we will find Him in His Word, and by obeying it, we will not wander from His ways. Then in verse 11, we read, "Your Word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against You." There's a big difference between having the word of the Lord in your heart or having it in your head. Today, as I started off by saying, there's so many theological institutions with a great vastness of the knowledge of the word of God in their heads, but it's not in their hearts. The difference is in our heart, that's our being. And that's where the Lord can speak to us. The devil also has a lot of the word in his head, or all of the word in his head, and he uses it very cunningly against us. So we need to get the word of the Lord into our hearts and be prepared to be changed by him. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So it's God who takes this word from our heads into our minds, into our hearts, that we can obey his instructions. One of the prayer-focused topics that I think we may not get to this year that is the one that revival in our own hearts. Dr. J. Edwin Orr presented a series of teachings on worldwide religion revivals that took place over the centuries. And two characteristics are evident in each and every revival. It's that it is preceded by prayer, and then that there is a conviction of sin. And this verse here says, "that I may not sin against you." So if we study the word of the Lord, he will reveal to us the sin in our lives that we need to surrender to him. And in that way, we will experience revival in our own hearts. The next outcry we find in verse 12. "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." So we have the author here asking, "Lord, teach me." And that should be the prayer of our own hearts as well. "Teach me your ways, Lord." Verse 13, "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." How can we proclaim the word of the Lord with our mouths if we don't know it? So we need the Lord to teach us, to help us to memorize the scripture. And then in Luke 6 verse 45 we read, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And that's so true. The more we fill our hearts with the word of God, the more it'll come out in our conversations. We'll be able to remind people of this is what the Lord says. Speaking to James this morning, he just confirmed this. He said when he was young, people who spoke to him and was able to give him scripture, that's the things that he now remembers since he came to the Lord. That's our responsibility, that we are able, when we speak to people and correct them, to be able to give them the word of the Lord. Because God says in his word that when his word goes out, it will not return void, and the fruit will come later. Verse 14. "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." When I read this, I thought about it, well, if we think about our day-to-day life, are we more concerned about life and the challenges that life present us? I know there was a stage in my life when I was very much concerned about making money. Because I always thought, well, if I've got enough money, then I can stop working and I can be full-time in ministry. So that was my mindset. But yeah, we have that instruction. We should think about the word of the Lord more than about things of this world. And 1 John 2 verse 15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." And that's what the Lord requires of us, that we must think of his word more than we think about everyday tasks and the things that we are so busy with. And I know we cannot be separated from this world. We live in this world, but we needn't be of it. And then verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. The word meditate implies that you converse with yourself verbally. In other words, saying it over and over to yourself. In the English language, there's another word called muttering. So that continuous reminder of what you've learned in your quiet time, in your devotional time in the morning, if the Lord just speaks to your heart, that you would recite it for yourself during the course of the day. In that way, it'll help you to remember the scripture, and it'll also help you it reminds you of the promises that the Lord has given you, or even the admonishing that you should stop doing whatever you are busy with, or what the Lord told you to stop doing in your devotional time. So we need to allow the Lord to speak to us in that time when we have our devotions in the morning. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And again, it goes back to that muttering, that we will not forget the word of the Lord, the things that He tells us. But the word delight speaks of, I'm exhilarated to just spend time in your word. And are we that excited to read the word? And I know there are times when we go through portions of scripture that doesn't speak to our hearts. But our challenge is to allow the Lord to speak to us. And we cannot do this by just reading the word. We need to ask the Lord to reveal His scripture to us. If we think about what the Lord does for us, we are so often reminded of His greatness. If you read the Bible, just think about grace. Each of us, most of us sitting here, we've been saved by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Have you ever thought about the privilege that we have, that we will be going to heaven? Just because God loves us so much, that in itself will just stir us to want to learn more, and in such a way that we want to share this greatness of God's love with the world around us. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. So again, he asked, Lord, deal with me and bless me that I will keep your word. Keep your means that you will obey the instructions that the Lord gives you, but also help to preserve the word of God. As we've said in the beginning, there are so much false teaching out there. People in many churches just preach love and no holiness to the Lord. And when we become aware of that, we should speak out against that. We've got to remind people, listen, yes, it's true, God loves us more than we can ever imagine, but God is also holy. And therefore, sin cannot be in His presence. So we've got to turn from our wicked ways. And we are reminded to do that, and it's our responsibility. In Revelation 22, verse 18 to 19, it says, if anyone adds to these things, God will also will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So if people do not present the whole word of God, if they just take certain sections of it, they are taking away from the word of God. And there's a severe punishment promised for them. They will not enter heaven. But if they add to that, say, well, you don't need anything else, that's all. Or add things that it's Jesus and, then they have the plagues that are written about in Revelation, and all of us know how severe that is, that'll come upon them. So we've got that responsibility to keep the word of God and to preserve it. We are Christians, we know the Word of God, and we need to know that we can be able to help people and direct them. Because people are so gullible to sit and just hear all these good messages. So often when you have large sermons that's emotionally stirring people's hearts, and they give that altar call, you have easily hundreds of people going to the front, surrendering their lives. But they were never told that, first of all, they've got to turn from their ways. And they are also not told that, remember, now that you've given your life to the Lord, you're going to be a target for the enemy. And as soon as things become difficult, they easily turn away. And that's why it's so dangerous if the whole gospel and the entirety of the Word of God is not presented. In verse 18, we find the next outcry of the author. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. He asked that the Lord would open his eyes. And in the same way, we need to ask the Lord that he will open our eyes. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, but the natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit in order to see the truth in the Word of God. I've mentioned to some of you about my cousin who's a confessed atheist. And when I started talking to him and I told him about, well, the Word of God is truth, and just trying to get him to think about these things, his comment was, well, he's read through all the Bible and there's nothing different in the Bible and he doesn't understand everything, so it's just another book. And that is so true of the people that are blinded by the enemy. And we've got to pray and ask that the Lord will open our eyes in order to see the full picture of the Word of God. Verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all the time. If we allow God to open our eyes, as this prayer is, his words will not be hidden from us. But in verse 20, he gives that outcry, Lord, I want to see your judgments. I want to see your fairness in this world. Is that really something that we would pray earnestly? Lord, I want to see the fullness of your word. It's not just the aspects that I wanted to see. And that's that outcry that we find there in verse 20. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Lord, I'm ready. Show it to me. That's the intent of that outcry. Verse 21. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. That's also so true about the Word of God. There are times that we are addressed in a way by the Lord that we need to make changes in our lives. And again, that doesn't come naturally, but it says here very clearly that we shouldn't be so prideful or so self-righteous that there's nothing in my life that needs to be changed. I think if we look at our ultimate example, Jesus Christ, the way that he conducted his life while he was on earth, the way he loved people, the way that he never lost his temper, there's the picture of the perfect man we find in Jesus Christ. And none of us sitting here, or even me standing here, can truly say, well, I'm close to him. So therefore, we need to allow the Word of God to speak to us that we make the changes in our lives. And we shouldn't be so stubborn, because it prevents us from growing spiritually. And for each and every one, those things differ. The things that we allow him to change in our life, then as you grow spiritually, first it may start with big things. To some people, it's the Lord convicts you of stop smoking. But there may be another guy that loves the Lord and the Lord hasn't convicted him of smoking. And that's that big sin. So It's an individual path that the Lord walks with each and every one of us. But we at least need to allow Him to do that in our lives. And when He speaks, we shouldn't be so stubborn to stay in our own ways, because we rob ourselves of growing into spiritual maturity. And the last outcry we find in verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So the outcry here is, Lord, remove from me reproach and contempt. Reproach is an expression of disapproval. And once we start following the Word of God to the letter, I can promise you there will be opposition. People will look at you and they would just think, how can you be so silly? How can you be so narrow-minded? That's the modern phrase of putting it. And you might even find family members coming up against you and making comments, and that it's not going to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Look at the norm in the world today. We must remember, it's going to come, but we're not of this world. We're living in a different kingdom, even though we are still in this world. And we need to live according to the rules and the instruction of the Word of God, and not according to the norm of the day. So the cry out here is to stand strong when people come against us. And it's not going to be easy, but fortunately we have a spiritual family, people that are same, like-minded, that also revere the Word of God, that are willing to follow what the Word of God says, and we can come together and encourage one another when these contempts and reproach come our way. And then that last section in verse 24, where he just say, well, Lord, your word is my counselor. Can we honestly say that? Do we find our counseling, our comfort in the word of the Lord? Or do we run to people? Just this morning in devotions, the piece of scripture is that we shouldn't trust on man. We should trust in the Lord and in His word. So often when people come to you and they're in need of counseling, our task is to direct them to the Word of God. Let them come to the feet of Jesus Christ and realize that true comfort, true counseling, everything is found in Him and not in man, as the Word says here. So after having said all this, I know there's no way that I can create in you a hunger for God's Word. That is something that the Holy Spirit does in each and every one of us. But we've got to ask that of Him. I just want to conclude by saying, or quoting Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And may that be true for each and every one of us, that we would find all of life's answers in the Word of God, and allow Him to speak to us through His word, in that way getting to know Him and also knowing how to live. May the Lord bless you in the week to come and as you study His word.